Y'all, this is getting to be too much of a habit. But I promise, it's only 11:30. I ain't going to keep you as long as that other preacher does sometimes. Well, you know, when I got to getting ready for today and was reading the scriptures and trying to put some words together, I got to thinking about why is it that we like to make everything more complicated than it needs to be. Seems like all my life I've wondered why people make things complicated when they're really simple. Most things are just not complicated. Most things are very simple. We always hear the saying, oh, it's not rocket science. Well, nobody really, we say it, but we don't really start and think, well, it ain't rocket science. There's only one thing that's rocket science, and that's rocket science. Everything else is just not that simple. I mean, not that difficult. It's simple. And I got to thinking about where I work. Now, I work most of you may not. I work in the laboratory at the hospital in Henderson. Been there about 15 years. And we have enough rule books and procedure manuals. We can paper the entire world solid over and cover it. And they're steady making more. And it's just not that complicated a job. But yet, I'm kind of like a straw boss, I reckon you call it, or department supervisor. And a good 40% of my time is spent nothing but replying to rules, making sure we're following rules, crossing T's, dotting I's. And, you know, we all wonder why healthcare costs so much. It's because it's so much wasted effort. That's a big reason why it costs so much. Look around at us. You know, how many laws we have on the books in Vance County, in Henderson, in the state of North Carolina, in the United States. Just think about it. You know, they say it's hundreds of thousands of pages of laws. And they're working hard as they can making more. And they just keep making things more complicated, more complicated. Look at in the Old Testament and part of the New Testament, we study the history of the Jews and we see how they developed as a faith and a society. And, you know, they wound up, God gave them like 10 commandments, and then they wound up with so many rules nobody even knew. By the time Christ came to earth, nobody even knew. You couldn't walk out the door without breaking a rule. And it was just so complicated. Well, God really only requires one rule from us, and it's very simple. And in the Old Testament reading, he kind of tells what it is. Well, in this reading that Janet read so well, they had gotten to the promised land. You know, Moses was gone. He had passed on. Joshua was the leader of the Hebrews at this time. And God spoke to him. And God tells Joshua, he said, okay, I got y'all hit the promised land like I said I would. He said, I carried y'all out of Egypt. I parted the sea. I defeated Pharaoh's army. I have knocked down everybody in front of you. And now you're in this land that you didn't have to fight for and work for. He said, I gave it to you. You're eating off the land, and you didn't have to work for it. Other people worked for it, and I took it from them and gave it to you. You know, I've given you all this on the plate. And God says, so it's one thing I want from y'all. And it's just one thing. Excuse me. God says, I want y'all to worship me. I want to be acknowledged as the only God. And I want y'all to give up all these other gods y'all worship. And you got to remember that, you know, these people had come from a pagan world where they worshiped the sun god, the moon god, the rain god, the earth god, the every kind of god and goddess. And God says, I'm the one who made everything, and I gave y'all everything that I have made. He said, and so I want y'all to worship me excuse me, and me alone. And so Joshua goes back to the Hebrews with this message from God and this requirement from God. You know, We talk so much about covenants. Well, this was the first covenant that God had made with him. It was the same covenant that he made with Abraham. Excuse me. Y'all pardon me just a minute. I think I swallowed a cockleburr or something. I apologize. Well, this covenant God made was, I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people. And, you know, that's real simple. But it's not so easy. Well, Joshua goes back to the Hebrews, and he's thinking about this, and he says, y'all might as well give this up now. He said, y'all ain't going to be able to do this. And they're like, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. We can give up all them other gods. And God had said specifically to Joshua, he said, and you look in verse 15, it says, choose today for all time who you're going to serve, me or somebody else. And Joshua says, I don't think y'all can do this. And they're like, yeah, we can do it. We can do it. Let's do this. You know, God gave us all this. We can do this. And Joshua said, you know, God wants a full commitment. He said, if we do this, it's got to be always. It's got to be 100% commitment. And so they said, yeah, we can do it. Well, we see that they didn't fare so well in the long, excuse me. In the long run, they couldn't give up all them other gods. And they really struggled with that. And, you know, we struggle with that too. We don't worship the sun god and the rain god and the moon god because we've mastered our environment pretty well. So we don't have to worry. You know, they were living completely at mercy to the environment. So that's why the ancient people got to worshiping the sun, the moon, the rain, the earth. That's, you know, that's where life came from. And they had to acknowledge some way. So, you know, we can't really blame them for the way they worshiped. But, you know, God has told the Hebrews, he said, you can worship just me. He said, you know, I made all these other gods. I made everything. And I have given it to y'all, and I want y'all to acknowledge me. And, you know, they had a trouble with and we have trouble with it today. You know, we all have our gods that we worship. We worship, some people worship money and power. Now, we kind of out in the country here, so we're not like that. But we got a lot of people in the world that worship money and power. You know, we're not quite that sophisticated, but we have our gods that we worship. You know, I myself got my gods that I worship. I worship football and car racing and reading books and doing things that make me feel good, eating country ham and stuff like that and oysters. You know, we all worship things that we want to put before. We want to put things that make us happy and comfortable before God. And we have a lot of gods today, I notice, with younger people. Most of the gods are in the entertainment industry. And I guess, you know, the football players and the race car drivers, they're in the entertainment industry too, so I'm guilty. But we worship these modern idols. And, you know, many of us, myself included, I'm just guilty as anybody. We all, a lot of us, are guilty of this. And, you know, imagine that if we put the effort into worshiping God that we do into worshiping all these other things, how much closer his kingdom would be to realization on earth. But we're able to compartmentalize. That's a word they use a lot now, where you put things in little compartments and just pull it out when you need it. You know, we just pull out God. We give him an hour, a week, maybe. And the rest of the week, we worry about other things. Well, that's what God told the Hebrews, that I'm not going to tolerate. I'm not going to accept it. You know, we compartmentalize. We want to multitask. We want to be doing everything at once. I read somewhere not long ago that multitasking is just a way for a lot of things to get done poorly. And that's true. A human being cannot do but one thing well at the time. It just cannot be done. I don't care what people tell you and all the self-help gurus will tell you. And the business advisors will tell you that everybody says you got to be able to multitask. Well, that's just a way to mess up everything a little bit. And, you know, we can't multitask in worship. We have to worship God or whatever else. We can't go back and forth. And like God told the Hebrews, he said, choose today for always. You know, he said, you're going to make it. He told them, you know, you got today to choose. And if you don't think you can worship me, he said, choose somebody else. But he said, choose today who you're going to worship and be done with it. You know, he didn't take excuses. And he said, I'm a jealous God and I will not share worship with other gods. You know, but we have a hard time, you know, and we tend to seem like in our lessons and Sunday school lessons and all, we criticize the Jews a lot for their failures, but they're no worse than, or no better than we are. You know, people are kind of all the same everywhere. But, you know, we can't compartmentalize it. We can't multitask and worship. God is not going to accept that. It just don't work that way. And Jesus was trying to explain this in the parable that in Matthew, our New Testament reading, Matthew 25. And Jesus spoke a lot in parables. And sometimes it takes a while to figure them out. And it took me a long time to figure this story out, but I finally did. And you know, he tells about the story of the 10 virgins. We've all heard that story where 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And 5 of the wise ones got ready. They were to meet the bridegroom. And you gotta look at, you know, the way society worked back then. It wasn't quite, you know, they didn't do all the courtship and stuff like we do for marriage. Or a wealthy man chose who he was going to marry. And it might be more than one girl, but, you know, everybody wanted to be that one, because usually the wealthy ones were the ones that had these big marriages and all this kind of stuff. And so the 5 of the young ladies got ready, got their lamps and the oil, and they were expecting the bridegroom to come on pretty soon when they heard the news. Well, he got delayed, and it got dark, and it's time to go to bed. So, you know, they got the lamps ready in case they got called out, and 5 of them got ready, got plenty of oil. The other 5, you know, done whatever else was, I don't know, who knows what they were doing, but they weren't ready. They was like, okay, he ain't gonna come in tonight. We just wait tomorrow, it'd be all right. Well, all of a sudden here at midnight, everybody's asleep. And here comes the announcer saying, the bridegroom is here, come on, time to go. And so they all jumped up and got ready to light the lamps. Well, the 5, the foolish ones, they didn't have no oil. So they tried to beg some off the others, and they said, now, you know, you're on your own now. And so they had to go uptown to get some oil. Well, the 5 wise ones, they done gone on in with the bridegroom, and they shut the door and locked the door, and the ceremony was going on. So here come the others running up late after they done got the lamps lit. You know, let us in, let us in, we ready. And the bridegroom or his spokesman opens the door and says, I don't know you. He said, you know, time, your time's passed. He said, I don't know who you are, I ain't got no time for you. So they locked him out. Well, you know, the point of that whole story is what the last verse says. You don't know the time, you got to be ready. You know, and we don't know when we're going to have to be called to account for our lives. And so, you know, we need to think hard about the multitasking and the compartmentalizing and the giving God his hour or 30 minutes or how, hour and a half a week. And you know, give him the whole week. Give him all of our heart, basically, is what we need to do. You know, because he's not going to accept multitasking. He's not going to accept excuses. And that is basically the one simple rule, you know, that he gave to Joshua. He said, I want you to worship me only and always. And you know, and Christ was trying to tell people that, you know, you can't just go on along and say, I'll get ready for God when he gets here. Well, you know, we don't know when he's going to get here. And if he happens to get here and we're not ready to render our books, I guess, as you would say, then we're going to be in trouble. And it scares me really bad to have to think that Jesus may come and say to me, I don't know you. You know, our commitment to God has to be 100%. You know, no multitasking is allowed. Like I said, we don't want to get up there and he say, I don't know you. So, you know, our commitment has to be not only 100%, but it has to be always. And since it's a football game coming on today, we need to move to our closing hymn. Our closing hymn is number 526 in the Methodist hymnal, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.